What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, February 1st, 2019. That's right. We are in February. We are on the beautiful Groundhog's Day Eve. I'm Tim Geddes, joined for the very first time on the show.
Second time.
Well, first time with me.
Yeah. All right. You're
right. By Belinda Garcia, a.k.a. at BBC Garcia. What, Kevin?
Hi.
What you shaking your head at?
You barely were able to say that.
What do you mean?
For the very first time on the show.
I didn't say that.
No?
I didn't say on the show. I said for the very first time.
Okay.
I said joining me
Tim,
for the very first time.
I'm sorry. I fucked up.
It's English,
right?
Kevin.
Right.
It's
I'm sorry. I don't know it. All right. It was
Look at his shirt
language.
With his grandma on it. It's a whole thing.
I love
Ladies
it.
And gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together to talk about all of the video game news that's going on in the world. You can get the show live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, or later you can watch it as a video on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can listen to it on podcast services around the globe. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily on your podcast service of choice. It's that easy. If you want to be part of the show, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. There's a lot of /kindafunnygames going on. Get used to it. It's how the show works. If you are a bronze member, you can write your questions in, your squad ups, all that stuff, and keep us honest with things. Or you can go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we get wrong. While we get it wrong in the show, we'll correct ourselves. And silver members get the show ad-free on Patreon. How are you doing, Belinda?
Good. How are you?
I am very excited to do the show with you.
Really?
Yes. Because I've never done any show with you.
Right.
So,
yeah, so this team up is the first time.
Yes, this is the first time we're teaming up. The Dream Team, they've been calling for many years. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and Alien Blackout, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, I wanted to shout out all of our Patreon producers for the month of February. You, too, could be a Patreon producer if you go to patreon.com/kindafunnygames. But shout out to Trevor Starkey, David Mentel, Panzer, and Jeremy Goldman. All of them helped us during the month of January to crowdfund our world tour and all the other announcements that we made, including the Kinda Funny up and comer program. We decided we hit 80K, which means we were going to fly an up and coming content creator out from wherever they are to come do a week of content with us, do this show, do Gamescast, do whatever they want to do. But we believed in that so much and people support us so much, we decided screw that. We're gonna do two. So you can go to kindafunny.com/upandcomer if you want to nominate yourself or someone else you know. There's been some great responses so far. Thank you very much for your support. I cannot wait to see you guys just like we're seeing you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think
you were the proof of concept of this whole program. So
yeah,
it was a success.
It's great. Nominate someone. It's a bunch of fun. The guys are great. It's such an experience to be here.
There
so
you go. But for now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for the news. We have 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much for that, Barrett. Number one, this comes from GameSpot. PlayStation Plus hits an all-time high. Sony has reported its most recent earnings to investors, including an update on the number of PlayStation 4 consoles it has sold worldwide and how many people subscribe to PlayStation Plus. More than 90 million PlayStation 4 units have been sold, a figure we already knew, and now we know over a third of those people subscribe to PlayStation Plus. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
As of December 31st, 2018, 36 million people are paid members of PlayStation's premium membership plan. That's an increase of nearly 5 million people since the same date in 2017. By comparison, Nintendo announced recently that a total of 8 million people are paid members of Nintendo Switch Online, though of course PlayStation Plus has been available for far longer with a lifespan of close to 9 years rather than Switch Online's 4.5 months. Microsoft says Xbox Live has 64 million active users, but does not disclose how many of those pay for Xbox Live Gold, because Xbox Live Silver is free.
Right.
PlayStation Plus's impressive numbers are despite the company announcing it will stop giving away free monthly PS3 and PS Vita games next month. Conversely, PS Plus members will get an increased amount of cloud storage from March 2019. What do you think about this?
I think it's great. I know that in our household, we have PlayStation Plus because they play Monster Hunter. So yeah, I think that's the only one that we have right now.
Yeah.
Owen. Yeah. I used to be an Xbox Live Gold member, but I'm not anymore.
Well, that was the thing, right? Xbox Live Gold, especially like last generation with Xbox 360, that was just the thing that everyone
had.
That was
everyone
the default.
Had it, yeah.
But now that this generation's kind of tipped towards the Sony side, I feel like that's why we're seeing such an uptick in these numbers.
Right.
And when there are 90 million PS4 units out there, like you're going to get a lot of people buying this because so many games these days rely on online.
Right.
Whether it's things like Monster Hunter or mm-hmm. Destiny or Division coming out, like right. all those big, you know, open games.
Yeah. I also feel like PlayStation in the last year like had God of War and like Spider-Man, which were exclusives. So I feel like that also may have like tipped it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing is like, I feel like those type of games get people into the PlayStation ecosphere, right. which means when third party games come out, they're like, you know what? I might as well play it here. And right. that's why it there's just a lot going on. I feel like what's going to be really interesting is going into next gen of what happens with PS Now versus PS Plus if they turn into the same program, because I feel like the PS Plus games that they give away every month, I feel like that system is going to change over time. These numbers are crazy though. 36 million paying subscribers, and it's not cheap. Yeah. When you look at the 8 million on Nintendo Switch Online, that's an impressive number for it only being out for 4 months and right. being a pretty terrible service. But it's only $20 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that I understand that there being a much higher user base, especially because that also offers the NES mm-hmm. online stuff, which I super love. The Xbox number, it's like, I love how Xbox is just so shy of actually putting things out, like
right.
proper numbers. Like, yeah, there's 64 million users, figure it out or not, whatever. They're the ones that aren't really officially saying their hardware sales either, mm-hmm. but that's what happens when you're, you know, not leading the pack or right. breaking records and all right. that stuff. Next news story, kind of speaking of the NES Online, Dr. Mario World announced.
Yeah.
This comes straight from Nintendo. That gets you excited, Barrett?
Yeah, dude.
Are you a big Dr. Mario person?
Yes, I love Tetris. I'm like addicted to Tetris. So like it's kind of the same concept.
Very similar concepts. Yeah, so. There even was a Tetris Dr. Mario game on the Super Nintendo, I want to say.
I think it's right. such a great, it's such a great mobile game.
Like, yeah.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Dr. Mario World is headed to mobile devices this summer in Japan and the United States. Announced by Nintendo, Dr. Mario World is being co-developed by Nintendo, Line Corporation, and NHN Entertainment. Dr. Mario World will be free to download with optional in-app purchases, and in addition to Japan and the United States, will release in approximately 60 countries and regions in early summer on iOS and Android. So this news comes hot off the heels of yesterday's announcement that Mario Kart Tour, the mobile game they announced a year and a half ago, I want to say, is being delayed a bit because originally it was targeting this summer
mm-hmm.
spot. I feel like this is kind of like a stopgap for them to just be like, hey, well, at least we have something, because they want to prove to investors that they're committing to the mobile side of things.
Right.
It's, I think, obvious and interesting to see them go back to the kind of free-to-play, like more mm-hmm. traditional mobile design of in-app purchases and all that, because they saw so much success with Fire Emblem Heroes being kind of the runaway success for them, I would say, on the mobile side, whereas the pay $10 to get Super Mario Run model, while successful, was not sustainable.
Right. I think that Dr. Mario is like such a good game, especially like seeing how the success with like Candy Crush and stuff like that, and just really easy to play mobile games like that. I think it's such a good move.
Yeah, me too. The thing about mobile games is I feel they need to be accessible and built for the device. They can't just be, we're going to take this experience and put it here.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that, like, Mario Run, for all its faults, like I feel like was the right way to do a Mario game on mobile, because I don't want a traditional Mario game. Mm-hmm. If I did, I'd play it on Switch, you know, or 3DS or wherever else.
Mm-hmm.
But puzzle games like that, simple puzzle games, you can figure out a way to make them a one-handed casual experience mm-hmm. without taking away from what the game is, the fun of the game, the design of the game.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Fire Emblem Heroes worked as well. Is Fire Emblem is a bit slower paced and doesn't require like a lot of dexterity.
Mm-hmm.
It is simply like kind of moving things around and a lot of menus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm interested in when they're finally going to break out Pokemon. Because Pokemon, I feel, is the right level of speed and control necessary that would really fit right at home on mobile. And
Dude, we already got Pokemon Go. It's all we need.
And we do have Pokemon Go, which is great. But I do think that Pokemon could translate as a proper,
like an actual
core
Pokemon
experience, you know? Even if it's a spinoff, like a Pokemon Let's Go type game.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Because now we're getting Mario Kart, and I wonder why it was delayed. Like, I wonder if it was delayed for...
Probably bad.
Development reasons, or it's bad. And, like, they even said, they're like, hey, it's not really up to standards yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they recently just said that about Metroid Prime. Nintendo's taking a really interesting direction where they're, like, admitting that their shit's not good, which you don't often see in games or in anything, really. There's a lot of bravado going on. So
I feel like Nintendo also, they know, I feel like they know that you're going to wait for it. They know like you're attached to their IPs and they're kind of like, hey, don't worry. Like it's coming. Don't worry. We have this though. We have this though. And I think they have things in their back pockets when they have these delays like that. Just like you're saying, like they delayed Mario Kart, but they're announcing Dr. Mario.
Yeah. Did you play any of the Mario, not Mario, Nintendo mobile games?
I played the Super Mario one and then... I think that's pretty much it. I didn't play the Fire Emblems one, and then
because Dragalia Lost was the new one that just came out, the RPG.
Mm-hmm. How was
Barrett,
it?
What about you?
Yeah, pretty much just the Super Mario run, which I thought was really fun. I had to play Fire Emblem for work, and that seems cool. I know a lot of people at the IGN office were really into it. A lot of people were talking some good stuff about Dragalia Lost.
Yeah.
So
I tried. I couldn't get into it. That's it was right. Just a little too slow. It's like a very JRPG, very anime game. And there's just something about
what
it.
What do you got against anime, Tim?
No, I love anime. But it was just like, there's something about it where I'm like, I already have a lot of that in my heart. I don't need something called Dragalia Lost. You know what I mean?
You have a lot of anime in your heart. I
do have a lot of anime in my heart. Moving on, more Nintendo news. There's just a lot of Nintendo stuff going on in the last couple days because of their financial reports. Nintendo to open first store in Japan. Later this year, Nintendo is set to open Nintendo Tokyo, its first official store in Japan, which is very surprising.
Right.
Nintendo is hoping that Nintendo Tokyo will be a new point of contact between consumers and Nintendo that a wide range of people, regardless of age, gender, or experience with games, can enjoy. In addition to merchandise, Nintendo plans on hosting events in a similar way to Nintendo's New York store, as well as the shop being ideally being a new base for communicating Nintendo information in Japan. Nintendo Tokyo is scheduled to open in fall of 2019 in the tentatively named Shibuya Parco building in Tokyo, Japan. Have you ever been to Tokyo?
I have not been to Tokyo.
It is amazing. I went last summer.
It's
and it was
one of my dreams. I
would it's
love
fantastic.
To get
it's everything that you want it to be.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places that in Hawaii were the two and Disneyland are the three places in my life that I'd say I went. And I'm like, yep, this is exactly what I wanted it to be and thought it was going to be. But,
I have been to the New York store, actually. When we were there for New York Comic Con, we spent a big chunk of time at the Nintendo store and it was awesome.
What'd you think?
It was awesome. I loved it so much. I got a sweatshirt, and it's like my favorite sweatshirt. I wear it all the time.
Yeah, I went to the Nintendo World Store for the first time in like 2009 when I went out to New York. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a cool thing to have because it's like, you know, there's like different levels to the store. On the bottom floor, there's the Pokemon Center where it's like all the Pokemon, like stuffed animals and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you go up, and it's just like a ton of Nintendo stuff, whether it's like clothes or stuffed animals or games or whatever. And then there's more where it's more like a museum. And that's the thing that I think is really cool is they frequently update the store like display fronts to like have different things based on what games are coming out. And they had cool stuff where there was like the iconic Game Boy that was in the Gulf War that like blew up. Like they have it in like this cool like presentation.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's cool. But what I really like about them is they host all their Nintendo Directs there. So whenever they do Direct, they like present them on giant video screens everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just packed with people like freaking out and like being super hype. And like, I love watching the YouTube reaction videos of people from there when like things are being announced at E3. And it's cool for them to realize the power of that and want to do it over in Japan.
Yeah.
In Japan, they have a bunch of Pokemon centers. So imagine the first floor of Nintendo World, but if it was three floors and it's just Pokemon stuff.
That goes so bad.
It's crazy. Like, it was so much fun.
So this would be just their first, like,
Nintendo store. And what's cool here is, like, I feel like they're trying to really get a bigger Nintendo presence in Japan with the IP building out Universal Studios, having Nintendo World coming out in a couple years. What's interesting, though, is when I was in Japan, I went to the Pokemon Center because I had to. But, like, across the street, there was a Kirby store. And I'm like, why the fuck does Kirby have his own store?
Hey, you know what? He was the only one who survived the attacks.
The attacks.
In Smash Brothers Ultimate. So you know what? He gets his own fucking store.
He does get his own store. He did, which is weird. It was a pop-up store. Okay. But it was like Kirby's Gourmet Food, whatever. Like, this is so, so bizarre. But yeah, Japan, they're fun. They do a lot of cool stuff there. Mm-hmm. But I remember growing up here in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Are you from this area?
I'm from about like 40 minutes out.
Okay, cool. But like Bay Area, right? Do you remember when the Metreon first opened?
Yes.
There was the PlayStation store. So the Metreon used to be the Sony Metreon.
It had
the PlayStation store, which is where like the PS2 launch happened. Mm-hmm. And it was the cool, it was the most late 90s, early 2000 thing of all time, where it's like a lot of neon blue light everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you could just go and like, you can ask them to, there was demo kiosks everywhere. Mm-hmm. And you could ask to like get any game you wanted. And they would give it to you to just play.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the only place like this, you know, mm-hmm. at the time. And oh, that was a RIP, man. Yeah. RIP. That's where I first played Parappa the Rapper.
Damn.
It was a transformative experience.
Yeah.
Do you remember going there, Barrett?
I went there once, and it was before I moved here. But we took a vacation here back in, like, 2005. And I think that was, like, kind of, like, that's also, like, at the top of the Metreon. They had, like, the weird, like, arcade with, like, the fucking real bowling shit and
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That was RIP old Metreon.
Exactly. Now it's just a movie theater.
Yeah. It's just a movie theater and a food court, basically.
Again, more Nintendo news. Super Mario Brothers movie release window.
Woo!
This comes from IGN. Nintendo has announced that the Super Mario Brothers animated movie is scheduled to be released in theaters in 2022. During Nintendo's financial results briefing, Nintendo President Shuntaro Furukawa confirmed that the development of animated film based on Super Mario Brothers with Illumination is moving along for an anticipated theatrical release around 2022. Revealed in early 2018, this new film will be co-produced by Nintendo representative director Shigeru Miyamoto and Illumination founder and CEO Chris Meledandri. Nintendo President Shuntaro Furukawa discussed how Nintendo has evolved its strategy of gaming population expansion. What the fuck? During the Nintendo DS and Wii era to its new focus to expand the number of people who have access to Nintendo IP. These factors have caused Nintendo to organize its initiative into three pillars: dedicated video game business, mobile business, and IP expansion business. The first pillar, dedicated video game business, is supremely important to Nintendo, and at its core business will continue to be the integrated hardware-software video game platform business. So pretty much, the Switch is what they're focusing on. They're seeing a lot of success with it. They just released the sales numbers yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Software sales through the roof. The attach rate, unreal. Smash Brothers, soon to be the best-selling Smash Brothers game of all time, which is crazy. But then they also are focusing on the mobile side, which we're seeing with Dr. Mario mm-hmm. and the forthcoming Mario cart. And then we see this IP expansion, which is movies, stores, theme parks, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are you for Nintendo World theme park?
That's going to be amazing. I think that with the whole like IP expansion, I think like kind of like my generation, your generation, like we grew up like with Nintendo, so that's where our attachment is. And I think they're focusing more on the new generation that maybe didn't grow up with an NES or a GameCube or anything like that. So I think like having a movie and having like a theme park would be like really great. Because I mean, with the Wizarding World, like people might have gone there and been like, "Huh, I'm really interested," and then started.
And they get hooked on Harry Potter.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. I mean, obviously, we're both big fans of Disneyland. I'm a big fan of amusement parks in general. But there's something about amusement parks and theming that, when done right, really just ups the ante and ups the magic.
Yeah.
There's a theme park around us called Great America that mm-hmm. growing up was Paramount's Great America. And it mm-hmm. essentially was Nickelodeon land.
Right.
Like you'd go and like there was like a water park, but the water was green.
Yeah.
Slime.
Slime.
And like there was just like a lot of weird things going on and a lot of rides. Like there was a SpongeBob ride mm-hmm. and like because it was Paramount. Like,
isn't that where the Shrek like 4D thing is? Is
now,
that there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, but back in the day, there was like a roller coaster that was Top Gun themed called Top Gun.
Is it not still there?
And it was dope. So
is it not still
then
there?
Then it got sold. So it's no longer Paramount's Great America.
Oh my God.
As of a couple years ago, it is California's Great America. I don't know who owns it, but
California.
Yeah. But they took, it's no longer Top Gun. Now it's just called Flight Deck.
No.
And it's so sad. And like, there's so many changes like that. And instead of it being Nickelodeon, it's Snoopy. And it's like, shout out to my boy Snoopy. I appreciate him, you know?
Yeah.
But he doesn't need his own theme park.
Right.
He needs his own theme park as much as Kirby needs his own restaurant.
Fuck you, Tim.
But Nintendo, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, you can kind of,
totally
you can just totally
sense.
Imagine what it looks like. I heard some pretty bummer news, though, that they're scaling back on what it was going to be. Because they announced there was going to be a Zelda world, a Donkey Kong world, a Mario world. And now I think right now it's just Mario.
Okay.
But we'll see. I think it's 2020 is their goal because mm-hmm. they're trying to time it with the 2020 Olympics that are happening over there in Japan. So that's it for the Nintendo news. Moving on, Xbox Live is having some issues. This comes from IGN. Hot in the heels of Xbox Live going down in just a couple days ago, Microsoft's online service is experiencing another service of outage. According to the Xbox support website, Xbox Live core services are limited on Xbox One and Xbox on Windows 10. Specifically, users are having trouble signing in to Xbox Live and accessing previously purchased content. Some users are experiencing difficulties signing in on the official mobile app as well. Microsoft says our engineers and developers are actively continuing to work to resolve the issue, causing some members to have problems signing in to Xbox Live. Stay tuned and thanks for your patience. If you're running into errors attempting to sign in or access previously purchased content, our teams are aware and working to identify the case. We'll update here when we have more to provide. You can follow at Xbox Support to stay up to date on all of that. Though Xbox Live experienced various issues late last month, they were temporarily resolved relatively quickly. So it'll
probably resolved within... Yeah.
I imagine maybe even by the time this is going live,
right,
it'll already be fixed. But who knows? We're so far away from when Xbox Live might be back. Belinda, if I wanted to know what games were coming to the mom and pop shops, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
It's my boy, Barry. It's my boy. Out today. Wargroove on Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Have you played Wargroove?
I haven't.
You familiar with Wargroove at all?
We've been talking about it a little bit, and
it's cool.
Yeah.
So it's essentially like Advanced War is like a spiritual successor.
Greg's
been playing it a bit. He talks about it and gives him his impressions on this week's Gamescast that is live now on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Or you can get it free Monday, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Story of the Green Dragon is on PC and Mac. They really don't give a fuck about video game names, do they? It's like, here you go. Here you go. Baby B on PC and Mac. Barrett, I'm going to need you to look up Baby B.
Looking it up.
I like how Baby Shark immediately pops up. Okay.
Maybe game trailer?
All right. Please bring this up.
Well, that's not it. This is like Maya the Bee. I can't even find Baby Bee.
Man, the new trains are aggressive.
Yeah, they don't fuck around, man.
Maybe video Baby game? Bee.
It's on PC and Mac. There we go.
On Steam. Here we go. Here we go.
Bringing it up. Yeah. It's a daring adventure. Okay. Could look worse. Could also look better. I'm going to be honest. A little lot of honeycombs. It looks like it's a puzzle game of sorts.
I'm into it, dude.
Engaging friend and foe. All right. Next up, Rainswept on PC and Mac. Then Cat Notebook on PC and Mac.
Can we look that one up?
Yeah, what's Cat Notebook?
Oh, God. Okay.
Maybe just search in Steam. Is it?
Oh, yeah. Is that PC as well?
PC and Mac, yeah. Cat Notebook. There it goes.
It's right there.
All right. I'm already into the art style. Let's go.
We're pulling it up now. Boom. Okay. It's very hypnotizing. Not sure.
What? No gameplay, no hype. Let's go. What? That's it.
You can't even read it. It's like, that's just Cat Notebook.
It will unlock in approximately 6 hours.
Is that what it said?
Yeah, on the...
Okay, so it's not out yet, but it will be out later today. If you're interested in whatever the hell this could be, I'm going to need somebody to please get this game. Let us know what the hell it is. I appreciate that very much.
Is there a description? No? Nothing? Scroll?
About this game, become an impassive feline whose existence is bound by registers of a lyric abstraction. Uncover a prodigious, fuck you guys, don't use the word prodigious in your description. A prodigious maze of audiovisual crystallization at soul rending pace. Features: explore Cat Notebook. Many unique illustrations to look at and songs to listen to. Do cat like things? 40 plus hours of gameplay.
Suffer alone
or together as a great party game, only enjoyable while delirious.
We should play this game.
Extremely limited features in gameplay. Exasperatingly challenging, impossible
genre,
to speedrun.
The Dark Souls of walking simulators. The desert bus of I can't even.
Oh, fuck you, the Dark Souls of walking simulators.
These guys, they know what they're doing.
We need a party mode of this.
8-Bit Hordes is coming to PS4 and Xbox One. Deadland VR coming to PSVR. Royal Assault on PlayStation 4. And Animal Super Squad on Xbox One. Yeah, thank you, Barrett. You're already one step ahead.
I'm already on it.
This looks like a party mode game already. Double Moose Productions. That looks... Skip forward a bit.
Some gameplay here.
It looks kind of Trials Evolution-y.
A little bit, yeah.
But cartoony with... Like, it's like Ultimate... If Ultimate Chicken Horse and Trials
yeah.
had a unwanted love child. Well, check that out. Animal Super Squad. And finally, our boy Lars Os Olsen writes in and says, I am a best friend from the beginning and a developer at a newly started indie developer called Shy Banzai, based out of Oslo, Norway. We have just released our first game, Get in Shape Game Show Edition, for free on mobile, and would love to be included in the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday. It was actually released yesterday, but it was minutes before Games Daily went live, so we missed yesterday's show. Hope we can get included on the show today. Support your best friends. Right now, you should get in shape. Game Show Edition. It's free on mobile. Help your buddies out. And some other things you put in here. Anthem. It's finally time to get hands-on with Anthem. Woo! The Anthem Open Demo runs from February 1st to 3rd, 2019. And it's your chance to jump into a javelin and explore the beauty and chaos of the world you've heard so much about. Progress from the VIP demo carries over to the open demo, so players who joined the VIP demo will get to jump in right where they left off with all four of their javelins in the forge. Take a second to check out the four things you can expect from the Anthem open demo. If you go to Anthem's Twitter, you can find all those things. There's a lot of words. Check them out.
Yep.
You excited for Anthem?
I'm pretty excited for Anthem. It looks great. So maybe I'll hop into the open demo this weekend.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm going to wait till it comes out.
You're not going to squad up this weekend?
Nah. Fuck you, Tim. Dude, I got Kingdom Hearts to play, man. I'm only 10 hours in.
I get it. You get to play Kingdom Hearts. You fucking weirdo nerd.
I'm going
to
get you. I'm going to get you.
Don't call us weirdos.
He's a fucking nerd, too.
You're a nerd.
Some new dates for you. Nintendo has indicated that we may not need to wait long before our beloved RPG Final Fantasy VII is available on the Switch. In a new, rather short commercial, the game is shown on the handheld hybrid console with the video's description reading, Final Fantasy VII, coming soon. It's not really a new date, it's more like a new...
Like an announcement.
Window. I don't know. Update. Yeah, I guess. And Zen Studios has announced its upcoming RPG titled Aprentia. The Stolen Sun will release as an Xbox One console exclusive. The game will also be enhanced on Xbox One X and launch day one on Xbox Game Pass in spring 2019.
Awesome.
Now it's time for reader mail. But first, let me tell you, it is brought to you by Quip. Starting a healthy routine and sticking to it are two very different things. Inevitably, we all skimp on that full night of sleep, skip a workout or two, or all of them in my case, or brush our teeth with a tired old toothbrush. We're not perfect, but we can do better, and Quip is a better electric toothbrush that can help. There's a built-in 2-minute timer. It pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth evenly. There's different quadrants. Did you know about this? You got to switch every 30 seconds. And they help you with these like pulses.
Now
up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. Multi-use cover works as a stand, mounts to mirrors, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go. Gia has been using this for a while. She has her little like stands. She puts them everywhere. She's traveling right now. It was super easy for her to just grab it, take it. On the go. Plus, there are no wires or clunky chargers, and it runs for 3 months on a single charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time for a refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. That's why we love Quip and why over 1 million happy, healthy mouths do too. Quip starts at just $25 and if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's right. Your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. And Shout out to Alien Blackout. Could you survive standing face to face with the perfect bioengineered killing machine? If you're like me and Barrett, you're probably deathly afraid of xenomorphs. You're
terrified,
afraid of them
xenomorphs? Terrified.
And there you go. And the fine folks at Fox Next and D3 Go want to put you to the test in a new chapter in the Alien franchise in Alien Blackout. Available today for your mobile device in Alien Blackout. You must do all that you can do to stay alive while trapped aboard a crippled Weyland Yutani space station that is carrying a deadly alien organism. You know. Like the one in the movies. And the xenomorph definitely does not like your crew aboard the space station and is ready to tirelessly hunt you and your crew down. Can you survive 7 fear-inducing levels as you take the reins as Amanda Ripley? Yes, the Amanda Ripley from the movies. Guide your crew in Alien Blackout through increasingly challenging situations only using your wits and the station's failing emergency systems. The unpredictability of both the alien and her crew can spell total defeat for the entire station if you don't keep it together. Alien Blackout is a unique fear-inducing space survival horror mobile game experience that will test the inner nerves of both alien and horror fans alike, where life can end in an instant. Click on the link in the description or head over to d3go.com/kfgames and download Alien Blackout for the App Store, Google Play, and Amazon App Store today. That's d3go.com/kfgames. Download Alien Blackout. My mouth is dry. I'm struggling to get through that. Woo! All right. It's time for reader mail. Woo! Excited for this?
I'm very excited.
You ready for this? Luke from South Australia writes in and says, with remakes such as RE2 making such a big splash, what effect do you think this will have on the future of giving old games new life? I know we've seen solid remasters and remakes before, but this seems to be something else entirely. I, for one, would never have touched the original RE2 in its tanky PS1 style, old game is old. However, on your recommendation, I picked up the remake and I am loving it. I feel like there is a great opportunity for other cherished titles from the PS1 and 2 generations, such to be shared with the modern generation of gamers. Take Greg's beloved Metal Gear series. I, for one, wouldn't touch the early entries with a 10-foot pole, but give them a fresh lick of paint, a transfer to the Fox engine, and the RE2 treatment. Oh boy, I'd eat that up like a booty. Keep up the great work. Luke from Down Under. Oi, Governor. Have you been playing Resident Evil 2?
No, I am not good at scary games.
Then you're not going to want to play this.
Probably
but you
not.
Are, because it's fantastic. It's so scary, but God, it's so good. It's so good.
Fuck Mr. X, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
But no, seriously, like, fuck Mr. X.
He's not. I do think that we're not going to see a giant influx of RE2-style remakes of games. I feel like this is an anomaly, and it's so good and right. So, like, beautifully handled that I don't expect other people to take that same kind of love and care mm-hmm. that Capcom did for whatever reason. It's going to pay off for them for sure, but I just, you know, knowing Capcom the last couple of years, like, this to me has been a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see the original Metal Gear Solid games redone in the Fox engine, but with all the Konami fuckery going on, I don't think we're close to seeing that anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
They did remake the original Metal Gear Solid on GameCube with the Twin Snakes, and I feel like that modernized it enough that it isn't like old game is old status, where it's like you can still play it today. It's just hard to get your hands on a GameCube and a copy of the game.
Right.
I'd love to see more though. Like, what about you?
Yeah. I recently went back and I was booting up what was it, Mass Effect 1? And it's hard. Like, old games are hard, definitely, to boot up.
Mass Effect's an old game now. That's where we're at.
It's an old game. Even, like, the first Kingdom Hearts, if you're playing that on PS2, is a little hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think same with, like, movies. It's, like, some will do well as remakes, some won't. But I think, like, as far as, like, showing the story off to, like, a new generation, I think it's a good idea, depending on what it is.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's a case-by-case situation. I feel right. like we've seen, like you said, so many different remasters and remakes, and I don't think that the RE2 treatment is the right way to go for every game. For example, the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, that to me is what they should have done. Just remaster the games, you know, make it, like, just look pretty, and, like, the enhancements they're making are widescreen support and better frame rate and mm-hmm. things like that. But otherwise, the gameplay is the same. It's mm-hmm. the same game you're going through. Whereas you look at something like Shadow of the Colossus that was remade last year, and that was a remake of the game, stayed true to everything that made it what it was, but it fixed issues. It fixed the controls. You know, it kind of, like, added to the draw distance, and it wasn't just graphical updates, but it really added to the experience of what made Shadow of the Colossus special.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Resident Evil 2 Remake, I feel, is a drastically different game than the original. They can stand side by side. I think that this one's better. But that's just because it's way more modern, and it's a good modern game. Like, I feel like with Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, no one's going to play that and be like, this is a great game that I've never played before. People are going to be like, there's nostalgia here, and like, I remember enjoying this, or it's just like a trip down memory lane. Yeah. And they're solid games, but they're not like amazing modern games. Right. Whereas RE2 is an amazing remake, is an amazing modern game, whether or not you played the originals. It just stands on its own. Mm-hmm. And I do think that should be the goal that we see with these type of remakes, but I just don't think we're going to get too many more of them. And if we do, I don't think they're going to be this level of quality.
Right.
What do you, Barrett, what's your thoughts?
About
remakes.
I really blanked out for a minute.
Remakes.
I don't know. Like, they're cool. I think it's a cool way to kind of pay respect to where games came from and like to bring them into a new light and definitely to show them to newer generations and whatnot. Yeah, I don't know. They're cool. They cool.
Chris writes in saying, with most of your shows being available on multiple platforms, audio podcast, video podcast, both recorded and live on YouTube and Twitch, how do you gauge if those shows are successful? Meaning, are they performing at or above expectations? Do you value audio downloads over video views? Are YouTube views more important than Twitch views? Are all of these combined but weighted in a certain way? Also, how do advertisers rank these numbers when deciding if they want to sponsor you or how much to sponsor you? Just curiosity. Thanks for all you do. I love questions like this because I love being transparent with you guys. Mm-hmm. Every show that we do, we weigh entirely differently. Like, we have what we call KPIs, key performance indicators, that every show has a different KPI. Mm-hmm. Something like Games Daily, for example, the numbers aren't necessarily the goal. It's more about the consistency. Right. It's like we wanted, this is our tentpole product, I would say, on mm-hmm. the game side. Mm-hmm. And we just want to make sure, like, our goal is it being a quality product, right? And it happening every day and, you know, having a great cast of hosts that can come in that people know what they're going to get from it. And what they're going to get is expert analysis of video game news, right? Whereas something like Party Mode, it really is just more about having fun. Mm-hmm. That show doesn't do the best numbers, but that's fine because it is just about having fun. Mm-hmm. There are other things where you're like, all right, we need to be hitting at least this for it to be worth our time. And a lot of it is more thinking about each show, how long of pre-production is necessary for it to happen. Like something like Games Daily, there's an hour required to prep the show mm-hmm. before we do the show. Mm-hmm. Whereas back in the day when we did Kind of Funny Morning Show, that required about 5 minutes to prep before it was done, and it showed. But in terms of the audio and video and Twitch stuff, I would say Twitch views are worth the least mm-hmm. Because it's hard to count concurrent viewers and uniques and what that means because you never know when in the video they're actually watching. Mm. Whereas YouTube versus audio, YouTube is more valuable because from a financial point of view, because there's ads that play on YouTube. So you make that YouTube money, mm-hmm. even though it's not much. Whereas you don't get that from the audio podcast. Mm-hmm. But for people like us, the audio is way more important numbers wise because we get it sponsored by advertisers.
Right.
So for the advertisers, we take all the numbers, add them together, and that's what they sell against. So when they get ads, it's across all of that stuff. So to us, I would say audio downloads are our most important metric in terms of making money.
Right.
YouTube's most important in terms of our growth and growing the community and getting ourselves out there and sharing the product. So hopefully that explains some things.
Cool.
Ignacio Rojas writes in and says, good morning. Kind of funny Games Daily. With all the discussion there has been about Kingdom Hearts 3, there's something I've been giving a lot of thought to. When a game reaches an entry as far as Kingdom Hearts has, the question people often ask is it welcoming to newcomers? If the answer is no, people tend to see this as a criticism. But is this fair? People don't expect to know what's going on if they tune into the season finale of the 7th season of a show they haven't seen, so why should someone expect to understand what's going on if they play the 9th game of a franchise? If anything, that would be unfair to those who have followed the story. I'd like your opinion. Do you share this view? Anyways, keep up the awesome work and may your hearts be your guiding key.
Oh. As far as we were talking about this earlier, you're about like 10 hours in. And yeah, I'm a little bit farther. I would say they're doing a really great job in kind of short, like there's little clips everywhere of kind of giving you a little bit of the story, even from the beginning when Usually you choose, like, with the shield and the mm-hmm. staff and stuff like that. They kind of give you clips from old games. So I think they were conscious of it going into it. Like, maybe people need a little bit of clarification. I know even me, who, like, loves the story and, like, keeps up with the story, it was helpful to me because, like, I didn't go back and play, like, the 8 games before it released. But I would say that it's pretty welcoming to newcomers, but I also understand, as, like, people that are fans of something, like, they're ready for, like, the last installment, whereas, like, people jump in at the end and are like, I don't know what's going on, but you're here, like, oh, I've been here since the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
In my 10 hours so far with Kingdom Hearts 3 specifically, I feel like it does a good job of giving the hardcore dedicated fans the story and the right. characters and the plot lines that they've been looking for.
Yeah.
While also doing as good of a job as it can of being welcoming to new people.
Right.
The new people, I think, are going to go in and be like, seem overwhelmed and very confused.
Yeah.
But what they don't understand is everyone is. You know, yeah. It's like there's so much information and so much has happened that even the clips don't make sense, mm-hmm. but they never made sense. You know, it's like, okay, cool. Mickey's talking about Xenohort and this and that. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, I think they do a good job of explaining it to you as much as you need to know.
Right.
You know,
to play the game.
I feel like that when you're talking about the season 7 of a TV show. I think TV shows are a bit different just in the way that they're consumed. Mm-hmm. I would compare games a bit more to movies. And I do feel like right. movies work best when they stand alone, but also add into the mythology of the franchise.
Right.
And that could be done not necessarily with like giant recaps. Like it doesn't need to be like a last time on whatever, mm-hmm. but just like of subtle lines of just trying to introduce you to the character dynamics, right? Mm-hmm. So when you see these characters, you don't need to know their entire backstory, but they'll say things to each other that imply that they've like had moments together or like, and I feel like the Avengers does a great job of this, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You could watch Infinity War and have never seen any other MCU mm-hmm. movie. You're going to be lost. You're not going to understand it as much as everyone else.
Right.
But I feel like the movie does a good job of
you
understanding how people are related, like who's a good guy, who's a bad guy.
Right.
And even if you don't know their history, you know, they had history.
Right.
And I feel like Kingdom Hearts 3 is doing the best job it can with yeah. how wacky and crazy the story's gotten.
And also, I think that it's rewarding to people that have been fans of the franchise. Like, little lines here and there, you're just like, oh my god, that's from this, yeah. or that's from this, or oh, he's from that. And like, yeah. And I think it's rewarding to people that have been fans of the franchise, but also, like, you're not losing anything if this is where you're jumping into the franchise.
Yeah, and, you know, Ignacio, like, to go deeper into what you're saying of, like, should games, like, really cater just to the fans or try to cater outside? I think they should always try to have it be as accessible to as many people as possible, yeah. especially in a franchise that now, to a lot of people, to a lot of the mainstream that haven't played the games, hasn't seen a proper core entry in 10 years,
right?
More than 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Kingdom Hearts 3 means something to outsiders because they're like, oh, this is a tentpole event, right?
Right.
So you want to kind of get them interested, even like the tangential people that hear of Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance and they're like, I'm not going to play that. But Kingdom Hearts 3, they're like, maybe now's the time for me to jump in,
right.
especially it being the first game on Xbox One.
Yeah.
And also it's on PlayStation 4. So it's like, mm-hmm. it's a great entry point for. Earlier we were talking about there being 90 million PlayStation 4s. Like mm-hmm. that is a large amount of people that can play Kingdom Hearts now for the first time.
Right.
I mean, they've had the collection, but like I think that they do a good job with that. And I think that we've seen in past sales numbers for games when they're sequels, they sell well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I feel like even later entries start, you don't see that drop off. Like, I feel like they know what they're doing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to sell extremely well.
I was at a Target yesterday, and I noticed, I was, you know, just walking through the game section. I just like to check stuff out. And I noticed that, like, there was no Kingdom Hearts 3 copies in there. I think that, like, that area, like, sold out.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it, you know?
But, Tim, also, like, what does it mean to get Norded? Please explain it
to get
me.
Norded?
Yeah.
You need to play, bro. You need to play,
okay?
Nah,
I'm going to play Anthem.
You're going to play Kingdom Hearts. I know you, man. You're going to get in.
No. No. For both of you guys, what the fuck does it mean to get Norded?
You can take this one.
You can. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. I have no idea.
What's the context?
Aqua, who in the fucking trailer or whatever, she's got the yellow eyes or some shit, and they're evil now. Like, what does that mean?
Okay,
well, and people are like, oh, she got Norded. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
It's the bad guy taking you over.
It's succumbing to the darkness.
Yeah, it's like you're not letting your heart be your guiding key. You're lost in the darkness. You're in the dark world. You might not be able to make it back to the light.
God.
Yeah.
Think of like Star Wars. It's like you're kind of giving in to the dark side. But Mickey's there.
Cool.
And he's the king.
And he's dope as fuck, man. All right. Jackie B says, hey, Tim and Belinda, do you think the next Kingdom Hearts title could be a Switch exclusive spinoff? This wouldn't be unusual as Square has released console exclusive KH titles on so many different systems, both PlayStation and Nintendo.
I don't think it's that far off. I definitely had the PSP, and I guess that's the most like far off. They've had Game Boy Advance games and stuff like that. So
DS, 3DS.
Yeah, like I don't think it's that far off. I know when they made the Persona announcement for Smash, it gave me like, how far are we from having Sora in Smash?
Yeah. God, that'd be awesome.
I know.
Lack of support Cloud has in Super Smash Brothers, like with there only being two Final Fantasy songs in that franchise and 378 Castlevania songs, I don't think we're going to get too much more Square reps. And if we do, I think it'll be Dragon Warrior. Sora would be awesome, cool.
Right when I saw that, I was like, how far are we? How far are we from Sora?
Yeah, there's a chance. There is a chance.
Goofy for Smash.
Who?
Goofy.
Goofy for Smash, baby.
I don't think it's that far off.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a Kingdom Hearts spinoff.
I think it would be a while, though.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
Like a while.
I haven't beat this one yet, so I don't know what direction they're taking the franchise. Because we know there's the epilogue or whatever, and every time there's an epilogue, that's a tease at the next game. Yeah. So having said that, without knowing what it is, I'd imagine that whatever this game's teasing is not a spinoff. It would be the next title that we'll probably get in 2030.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. A Kingdom Hearts Switch game would make a lot of sense. I don't know where Square's at right now. Because for the first time ever, we're at a point now where Kingdom Hearts 3 is out. Final Fantasy 15 is out. Final Fantasy 7 Remake.
Never going to happen.
It's still out there. It's not here yet. But this is the longest we've ever went without a Final Fantasy core title being announced.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Final Fantasy 16? What is Final Fantasy 16?
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom Hearts 3 announced in 2013, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know the future of what it looks like. We know this game is going to sell well. We know there's going to be more Kingdom Hearts games.
Mm-hmm.
But when? How?
And how?
It's like, I don't know. But I expect we'll see or hear about Final Fantasy 16 before we hear about a spinoff. But a spinoff on Switch, I'd put money on it at some point. At some point. It's time to squad up. Alec Bobco writes in. He's playing on PS4. His PSN name is AlBob875. That's ALBOB875. He says, I'm looking for people to play the Anthem demo with this weekend. I'm not sure when I'll be on tonight. Parents are taking me out to dinner for my birthday.
Happy birthday.
But I will be on eventually. I can't wait to play with some of the Kind of Funny best friends and see what all the hype is about. You can play with Barrett. Barrett's going to be playing all weekend, apparently.
All fucking weekend.
Hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah. Now it's time for You're Wrong. Let's see what we got wrong today. Number one, John A. says, you said it's Groundhog's Day Eve. It's actually Groundhog's Day. No, dude. Groundhog Day is the second, right?
I have no idea.
They might be watching from a different, like...
John A. Yeah. Gotta figure shit out. Wait, a different what?
Isn't Australia already in the second or whatever?
Isn't Groundhog Day an American thing?
I don't know, maybe.
We're the only ones in Philadelphia. We're the only ones with Petey the P-Dog. Right?
Shut up, Kevin.
It's Groundhog Daisy. Deal with it. Kebab says Mario Kart Tour was originally announced just over a year ago on January 31st, 2018. Wow, it's just been a year. Felt like a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
The nanobiologist says California's Great America is owned by Cedar Fair, the same company that owns Kings Island in Ohio, Kings Dominion in Virginia, and Cedar Point in Ohio. The Nickelodeon stuff has been replaced by the Peanuts.
Shout out to Cedar Point.
Yeah?
Tallest roller coaster there.
Wow.
The top thrill director.
Wow. Let's see.
420 feet.
I didn't know they changed Top Gun. I learned that just when you told me.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I love that ride.
You ruined her childhood.
I know. It's still the same ride, but it's just,
but
you know.
But still, you're like, it's Top Gun.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah. So now we have to play the Top Gun themes ourselves in our earphones. Nanobiologist writes in and says, a missed news item. Sony has filed a patent in Japan for future devices to be backwards compatible with previous systems for the new console to imitate the behavior of the previous consoles. We can assume this translates to PS5 will potentially be backwards compatible with PSX, PS2, PS3, and PS4. Love it. I believe it. I think that's going to happen.
Totally.
A lot of people are writing in about Great America. I appreciate all of you. Stetto Joe Not says Xbox Live outage update. Microsoft says login should be back to normal, but you may be unable to buy stuff right now. Cool.
Got it.
New dates. Amazon has listed Final Fantasy X, X-2, and 12 will be releasing on April 16th and April 30th, respectively, on the Switch. It comes from Nanobiologist. You a big Final Fantasy X person?
I am not. I haven't played that one.
Wow.
Actually, I haven't played any Final Fantasy games.
Oh my God.
I know.
And you're into Kingdom Hearts?
Why are you clapping? Yes, I love Kingdom Hearts. I'm at Disney. That was my gateway.
Gotcha.
So I would probably jump into Final Fantasy and be like, oh, they're from Kingdom Hearts, right? Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm not too keen on turn-based fighting, but there was one that wasn't turn-based, right?
There was a couple of them, but yeah, yeah. 15 that just came
15
out.
Yeah.
And people were like, yeah, you can jump in here. So one day
15
it'll
is
happen.
Very Kingdom Hearts-esque.
That's exactly what people sell me on.
Let's see. Okay. The nanobiologist says Norded is when you are succumbed to darkness and are a chosen vessel by Xehanort to become one of his 13 darknesses. This is signified by people having yellow eyes, the eye color of Master Xehanort.
That's right. You give in to the darkness.
Fucking dumb.
Get Norded, Barrett.
Nord me, dude.
Kebab says Australia and New Zealand are currently on Saturday, but Groundhog Day is mainly a U.S. and Canada holiday. It's celebrated February 2nd, so the complaint doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's right.
They just year wronged the year wrong.
The nanobiologist says Tetsuya Nomura, the co-director of Kingdom Hearts, announced after the release of KH3, he was shifting focus to Final Fantasy VII Remake. Kingdom Hearts 4, subtitle here, will most likely come after Final Fantasy VII Remake is released or canceled. True. And nanobiologist says Final Fantasy XII is not turn-based. It stops combat to choose an action, but that's it. Yeah, so it's kind of somewhere in between, but it is more of an action game.
Got it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. What a fun episode. Barrett, thank you very much for running the board like a professional.
Sure.
You're awesome.
Belinda, thank you very much for joining
thank
me
you
for the
for
first time
me.
Together, me and
the
you.
The partnership.
Yeah.
First time.
Got
it.
The dream team again. We will see you again next Friday.
Next Friday, same time. I'll be here with Fran.
Awesome. Awesome. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at BBC Garcia, and then just go from there.
Yeah. Tomorrow is Saturday, but next week the hosts are as follows: Monday, Fran and Megan Sullivan, formerly of IGN. Tuesday, me and Snowbike Mike.
Yeah!
Get hype, baby. Wednesday, me and Gary Witta.
Fuck yeah.
The return of Witta Wednesdays. Thursday, me and Fran Mirabella the Third. And Friday, Fran Mirabella the Third and Belinda Garcia. Fantastic. Frantastic, some would say. Love you guys. Stay tuned for Kind of Funny Screencast with Big Dog Kevin Coelho. Until then, I love you.